Man, use words. Our God is so powerful, He just uses words to create. Doesn't even need to get His hands dirty. Doesn't even need to get His hands dirty. Just out of His mouth. That's how powerful our God is. Amen? So although if I want a chair, I can't just speak it into existence. I have to build it. I'm talking about those things in our life where we're declaring the truth of God. And who else hears it? The enemy hears it. But you know, the enemy does his own talking. And that's the big thing. We could be speaking, but the other part of that equation is the enemy speaks, and are we listening? You know, right now, if you turn on the TV or the radio, you hear the enemy speaking a lot. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not... You have 6:12, Ephesians 6:12, Bill? I'm going to wait so I can read that with you guys. Should I just go ahead, Bill? I'm just going to read it. Don't worry about it. So, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So we've talked about that through the weeks, that we don't wrestle against other people. That's not our battle. And if we're not careful, that's what we'll see. We'll just see the people before us. They'll become the actual enemy. But it's what's behind people. It's what we hear people saying in the government. What we hear people saying in the news isn't actually from them. They didn't think it up. The enemy thought those things up. I was given an example I wanted to mention today. I saw this on the news, something I thought was pretty awesome, as a professor from NYU. If you could put up that book called Unsettled, Bill, if you could put that up. So this guy is a professor at NYU, New York University. This is a very liberal university, by the way. This is not a conservative college or institution of higher learning by any way, but this Stephen E. Koonin said, hey, what climate science tells us, what it doesn't, and why it matters. And he started talking about, hey, I'm looking at the data, I look at the science, and you can't tell me that we're in the midst of global warming. Have we had a couple of degrees temperatures change, he said, over the last 120 years? Yes, we have. He says, we've known that for 100 years that's happening. He says, so the data that, he says, I read the same data that every other scientist reads, but I read it for what it is. I don't have an agenda behind it. It's not about global warming or climate change anyway. It's about control. And I can tell you one thing, it is 100% opposed to Jesus Christ and to God. Who is the God of this world? We know it's Satan. But who made this world God? Amen? I love you. I think we should take care of the earth. I think we should be good stewards of the earth. But the earth belongs to man. I don't belong to this earth. This earth belongs to me. That's the way God set up the authority. So when you start hearing things, what are you hearing? Do you believe what you hear? So when I talk about... I should say climate change. I say global warming because they started with that mantra, not me. And when it didn't work, they went from global warming to climate change. When they were having some of their summits and it was snowing in May. Then they changed it that we're having climate change because of fossil fuels and so forth. Let me just say this. I'm okay with keeping our earth clean, but I'm not okay with this world being the God. This earth belongs to us. God made it for you and I. Amen? So he started saying this. He says, look, the science says, I'm not following the science that I hear. I just read the data. And he says, I know that emissions is harmful to the air. We know that. Ever been in, hang out in L.A. for a few days, you'll know that it's not good for you. He went on to say that even if America had a zero carbon footprint, that China's going to do more than make up for enough emissions, right, man, that are going to be So if we could go to that, we could break this country and have a zero footprint and do not a bit of good. Is that true? Amen. So looking at saying, God, we think we want to take care of this earth, but it's the mantra of controlling you and I, being more concerned about things that are a lie than the things that are truth. Talks about in Romans 1, believing a lie, exchanging the truth of God for a lie. What do you listen to? What do you hear? When I mention these things like climate change or Black Lives Matter or Antifa, Marxism, things that are contrary to the family, things that are contrary to Jesus Christ, does it bother you? But let me ask you this, if what I'm saying to you, does it bother you that I'm mentioning it? Because if it is, we bought into a system where we're not to say anything, that we can't declare the truth, that we can't stand up, amen? That we can't stand up for our rights for here in America. My whole point is I start reading, the enemy's always talking. And if we're listening, we start believing a lie. And then we'll actually start being opposed to the truth and not even realize it. Let's you and I not be opposed to the truth. Amen? I wanted to mention, too, that I had talked about Prenda last week and mentioned the school system. I wanted to make sure people understand there's some good school teachers in the school system. I didn't want to lump everybody together. I didn't mean, that was not what I wanted to do. My granddaughters, they've had some, over the last few years, have had great school teachers. But we want to have control over everything our kids are doing. The control belongs to the parents anyway, amen? The control belongs to the parents to declare the truth. You know, even when I was in junior high, which was a long time ago, the untruths that they were teaching then, amen? The untruths that they were teaching then, I don't know where the believers were then in the early 80s, the late 70s. But we just took it for granted that somehow it was going to work out. But finally, people awaking that it's not going to just work out. We got to stand up for the truth. Amen? Amen and amen. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So in 2 Kings 18, Samaria is besieged and carried off to captivity by Syria. And at this time in this story, we have two kingdoms. We have the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. You guys remember after Solomon, when his son took over, there was a splitting of the kingdoms. That was because of Solomon. Believe it or not, the way he lived his life at the end. And so there was a splitting. And so we had the kingdom in the north of Israel and the kingdom of Judah in the south. And so when it says that the enemy, Samaria, that's Israel, is besieged and carried off to captivity to Assyria, then Assyria invaded Judah. So we have the capital of Israel, Samaria, surrounded and besieged for 3 years. Basically starved them out. We don't hear anything of Israel crying out to God. We don't hear them turning to God. We don't hear anything in the Word of God. But we know one thing, that they're carried off into captivity. Didn't cry out to the Lord. Had gotten so far away from the Lord that the gods that they were worshiping then, and the way that they even worshiped God at that time, the God of Israel, nothing happened and they were carried off into captivity. And that's where we pick it up in Hezekiah. So this time, the king of Judah is Hezekiah, who was a godly king. It says that Hezekiah walked in the footsteps of his great-great-great-great-grandfather, King David. He pursued the Lord. He loved the Lord. He was a man that was looking unto the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He removed all the high places where they were worshiping other gods. He got rid of that. And he said, hey, we're going to worship God. As long as I'm king, the only God that will be worshipped here is the God of Israel. So God had blessed Israel. God's hand was upon Judah. And then starting in 2 Kings 18, 13, it says, now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, a king of Syria, marched against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. So now he's coming. He just took Israel into captivity, and now he's coming after Judah. this king of Assyria. They were the rulers of the known world at that time. They struck fear into everybody's heart. You remember a few weeks back when I talked about Nineveh? Remember? We talked about Nineveh, and we talked about how the prophet went into Nineveh and was declaring repentance to Jonah. Well, there was a reason he didn't want to do it. It's because of how Syria was, the Assyrian army. Then in 14, then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent messengers to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Withdraw from me. So here's the godly king. He's fearful right now. He says to Assyria, I've done wrong. He tried to stand up against them. He says, I've done wrong. He says, withdraw from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will endure. So the king of Assyria imposed on Hezekiah, king of Judah, the payment of 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Verse 15. Hezekiah then gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. Verse 16. At that time Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the doorpost which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and he gave it to the king of Assyria. So the mighty man of God basically said, I'll give you everything we have. I'll give you all the gold in the house of the Lord. I'll cut off the doorpost, the door handles, everything that's been inlaid with gold, I'll give you. All the treasury that I have, king of Assyria, I will give to you if we could just come to an agreement. Mind you that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is a mighty man of God, but because of what he had heard, he had fear in his heart, and he started out saying, okay, let's come to a truce here. And isn't that what the enemy always wants us to do, come to a truce? He doesn't want you declaring. He doesn't want you standing. He doesn't want you speaking out. He just wants you to come to a truce. He wants you to be quiet. He wants you to lay down. He wants you just to be in fear. And this great king is at this point right now. I've done bad. I'm sorry. You're coming against us. They besieged the cities. He had seen what had happened to his brothers and sisters up north in Israel. He knew that they would besiege them, and now however long it took, he would starve them out. Could you imagine the Jerusalem surrounded by soldiers? Nobody can come in, nobody can go out, no food comes in, nothing comes out, and slowly the people starve to death. So he had seen that. He'd seen what the enemy had done. He said, well, maybe I can appease the enemy. I can tell you what, you cannot appease the enemy. We cannot appease Satan. He comes for everything you have, your family, your homes, everything. There's nothing where he'll stop. He'll say, I'll make a truce with you, not because you give him something of money or something physical, but in your heart you're just saying, what do I need to do to make this stop? This stuff that's coming against me, what do I have to do to make it stop? What do I need to do to make this sickness that's coming against me stop? What do I have to do that's coming against me and my family stop? What do I need to do that's coming against us in America to stop? And so he just says, let's make a deal. Gave him everything they had. All the gold, all the silver. Amen. You know, he had tried to make peace with him. If you read through the story, he had tried to be in good terms with this king of Assyria. He thought they had an agreement. But the enemy is a liar. Who's the father of lies? It says that Satan is the father and the father of all lies. When he lies, he speaks in his native tongue. He can't even speak the truth. He can lace it with truth. He can mix it with truth. But it's always to his benefit. It's always to blind you. It's always to lie to you. It's always to bring you away from God. It's always for you not to be confident in your Lord and Savior. Always lying. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. This enemy right here, the time that Hezekiah was fighting, was Satan himself. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It was the enemy. It was Satan trying to destroy the house of Judah. And so he said, then he began to speak, and then this was the Sennacherib's, the king, this was his right-hand man, and in verse 19, Bill said, and Rabshakeh said to them, say now to Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria says. Boy, Satan likes to spout, doesn't he? This is what the great king of Assyria says. What is this confidence that you have? Because Hezekiah told the people, trust in God. Let's trust in the Lord. He's going to deliver us. Let's trust in him. Then he turns around and gives them all the gold they have in their house. Gives them all the everything they have, but he'd been telling the people to trust the Lord. And so this Rebekah just says, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria says. What is this confidence that you have? You say, but they are only empty words. I have a plan and a strength for the war. Now on whom have you relied that you have revolted against me? And I wanted to say the enemy will always whisper in your ear and say, these things that you're saying and declaring are empty words. Things haven't changed much in 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years. He's saying these are empty words that the king is saying. And I can tell you what Jesus, the things that we hear from Jesus, they're not empty words. Jesus was what? He was from the throne of David, right down the line of Hezekiah. It'd be like saying, hey, are you listening to this Bible? Are you listening to these words from Jesus that you hear from the Word of God? They're just empty. They don't work. And that's what the enemy's trying to do today, saying these are only empty words. The Word of God is empty. It has no power. Do you still love His Word, by the way? Do you still spend time in His Word? I'm not saying that, but that's where we get our strength. That's where we get our confidence. That's where we get our peace in His Word. I found out in this day and this age that as I gleaned from His Word, boy, it just brings comfort to me. God, you've got my back. I don't care what happens in this country. You've got my back. I don't care what happens in this country. You'll take care of my needs according to your riches and glory. I don't care what's happened in the past. I've learned some things, Lord. I'm established in you. You're going to supply all my needs. You're going to take care of me. You're going to do a work in my family. They're not empty words. The things that we read in the Bible, the Word of God, they're not empty. They're powerful. People nowadays, when they read the Word, sometimes it just coming across like it's our it's what we should do. It's what's required as a Christian. But you know what? They're actually powerful. They're life. Truth and life and the power of the tongue. So this Rabashakeh said, but they are only empty words that you're hearing the king say. Verse 28. And they said, and then before we speak in verse 28, they're speaking, this Rebekah is speaking in Aramaic. And so most of the people there only speak Judean, the Judean language. And so the king says, hey, just don't speak to us in our native tongue. Just let you and I talk. And when the king said that, boy, that was the wrong thing to say. Because in verse 28 that it says, then Rebekah stood up and shouted with a loud voice in Judean. This is the enemy of God, by the way, shouting, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not, this is what the king's saying, so the enemy talks, right? This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to save you from my hand. And do not let Hezekiah lead you to trust in the Lord by saying, the Lord will certainly save us, and this city will not be handed over to the king of Assyria. Verse 31, do not listen to Hezekiah, for this is what the king of Assyria says. Make your peace with me, and come out to me, and eat, and each one from his vine, and each one from his fig tree, and drink each one the waters of his own cistern. 32 says, until I come and take you to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees producing oil and of honey, so that you will live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah, because he misleads you, saying, the Lord will save us. Has any of the gods of the nations actually saved his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? So not only does he tries to get him to simmer down. Now this guy, in the native language of all the there in Jerusalem, starts yelling at the top of his voice. God can't help you. You're Jesus can't help you. This was the king of Israel. He can't deliver you from my hand. And that's what the enemy speaks to people now. He can't deliver you. You're always going to be And you're always going to be addicted. You're always going to struggle. You're always going to be in poverty. You'll never change. You'll always be broken. That's the enemy speaking those things. We may not have the enemy surrounding us in physical walls, but he is speaking louder than ever. My question is, are you listening to him? It's easy to listen to the voices in your head, to the tapes, to those around you. As the enemy started saying, yelling even louder, don't listen to the King of Israel. Nobody can deliver you out of my hand. There's people that think they can never be free. They've heard that their whole lives, or they've been in their examples. They could never be free. I don't care if you're living under a bridge or looking over everybody on a hill. You could be in bondage, and you need to believe that Jesus can set you free. I'm here to tell you today, Jesus can set you free. If you're hearing anything other than that, that's the devil. Because Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. I came to set people free from the power of the enemy. Regardless of what, he tries to speak to all of us, tries to discourage all of us. We know that. If you know the Lord, you know he tries to speak those things to you, to discourage you, or circumstances around us. Let me tell you that as we finish this, as we start to finish this account up, we've heard the voice of the enemy already here. Amen? So in our lives, we can relay this. It says, these things were spoken to you, Paul said, is an example to you and I of the power of the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord always has the final say. Let me tell you something. Jesus always has the final word. Today I declare to you that he always has the final word. Amen. In this country, in our families, in our homes, he always has the final word. So at this time, guess who the prophet was in the land when Hezekiah was king? Isaiah. You ever heard of Isaiah? Boy, that'd be a good guy to be able to talk to, right? So Isaiah, so I mentioned the Lord always has the final word. Bill, 2 Kings 19, 6 and 7. And Isaiah said to them, this is what you shall say to your master. That was to Hezekiah. The Lord says this, do not be fearful because of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. See, when the enemy's coming against us, he's coming against God. Do you realize that? He cares for us and loves us so much that when the enemy's coming against us, we're not our own. He's coming against the one that purchased us. The one who bought us, our father, our king. It reminds me when Paul was on the road to Damascus, and that blinding light, and he falls off his horse. And what does he say to Paul? He says, why do you persecute me? He didn't say, why do you persecute my people? He said, why do you persecute me? And it's the same thing to do. God knows that we're precious in his sight. You're not fighting this battle on your own. This battle belongs to the Lord. Oh, how he loves you and me. Amen. Do not fear because of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. That's verse 6. Verse 7 says, behold, I am going to put a spirit in him so that he will hear news and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land. And so the interesting thing was, is all of a sudden he's going to surround Israel, and then he gets called away to another. The king Assyria gets called away to another battle. So something else flares up. He's got to go give his attention to it. And so in 2 Kings 19:35 and 37, let's see what the final results are here. This wasn't the final results for Samaria. They weren't trusting the Lord. They didn't put their trust in the Lord. They weren't wanting to hear the voice of God. They didn't want to hear from the Lord. They didn't want to hear what the Lord was declaring. But this king, Hezekiah, says, man, we're going to put our trust in the Lord. I've said some things there. I've boasted some things there. And then this enemy surrounds us, and it looks, and I even gave in a little bit and gave him some gold and got scared. I tell you what, even when we fail, God doesn't give up on us. Amen? God could have come back and said, what are you doing, Hezekiah? You gave him everything. You gave him the farm. That's not what God said to him. He had blown it. He had gotten fearful. He'd given up for a spell. But then finally he said, man, what am I doing here? So God didn't shame him. He put his trust back in the Lord. And then God brought him the answer. The enemy's totally defeated. 2 Kings 19, 35 through 37. Then it happened that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. Wow. And when men rose early in the morning, behold, all of them were dead. Not some of them, all of them were dead. Next verse. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived at Nineveh. 37. It came about as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adramelech and Sharezer killed him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon, his son, became king in his place. And just like that, the boasting of the enemy, you're done. There ain't nothing you can do about it. Nobody's ever defeated me. Nobody's ever been able to stand up against me. Look what happened up north, your brothers and sisters. Look at the experiences the other countries had, including some of your own people. You're done. You know, today, God, it says in Hebrews, in the Old Testament, chapter 1, God spoke to us through prophets, but now he speaks to us through Jesus Christ. I believe in prophecies and those things that encourage us, but I can hear his voice myself. How about you? Of course, I get counsel from different people. As I've gotten older, I've mentioned it's good to get counsel, but I can hear his voice myself. When he's coming against you, you find yourself in a struggling situation, just know that's not God against you. That's the enemy. Those things that would push against us. But the victory, it was not a partial victory. It was a complete victory. It was a 110% victory. It says that God, the angel Lord, killed them all. The enemy of the Lord, his braggadocious ways. Are you listening to his braggadocious ways in this day and this hour? I'm not going to listen to his voice anymore. How about you? Because the victory belongs to me. How about you? The victory belongs to me. Amen? The enemy always, when we stand firm, he could have given up. There's been different accounts of the Bible where the Israelites just gave up. Okay. We'll submit to you. We'll become your slaves. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to become his slaves. Slaves to sin. Slaves to fear. Slaves to your dreams. Dying. Just wallowing in our own self-pity. Amen. Proverbs 15:4. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. It's the enemy that speaks lies. It's the Lord that speaks truth. It's the enemy that speaks forth defeat. It's Jesus that speaks forth his word of victory. When we start speaking, then I don't know if the Lord can do it. I don't know what's going to happen. God can't do anything in this country. And we say it's too late. We're speaking perversion. When we say to other people that it's too late for that person to find the Lord, we're speaking perversion. We're not speaking truth. The thing is, nothing is impossible for my God. We know the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? How about you guys living an abundant life? If the enemy can get us to believe what he says, the things that he says regarding our lives, regarding our homes, regarding our nation, then we might as well just say, here, handcuff me. Take me away. Brothers and sisters, it's going to start with our mouth as the worship team comes. If I get into this part 4, we'll be here another half hour. But that would be normal, huh? I think that's enough today for what the Lord would want to speak to our hearts. You think of this enemy that was surrounding. Amen? The godly king. Hezekiah wasn't looking for, he wasn't looking for a battle. He was just minding his own business. But the enemy will come against you, amen? He's in it to try to destroy. You can't have your soul. He wants to take blessing from you. I said, if you can't take your soul, he'll want to take blessing from you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you today that we're not listening to the voice of the enemy. Hearing example after example where you have delivered your people. And other times where people just gave up and said, I can't do it. Up north in Israel, they had given up. They were carried off into captivity. And then we listen here where the king is saying, hey, I'm going to take you from here. And I'm going to take you into a land and it'll be nice. You'll get to eat. You'll be blessed. That was a lie. Take them somewhere where there'll be slaves. No freedom. Try to convince them that if you'll just give in, things will be okay. If you just relax, things will be okay. Next week when we meet, we're going to talk about the zeal of the Lord. Because if there's something that the house of God needs now, it's the zeal of the Lord. We need the zeal of God. His Spirit in us. With His Spirit living in us, big things happen. If we want Him to. Amen. If we desire to. If we believe the Word of God. If we prefer declaring the truths of His Word. Amen. Can you stand up with me? If there's things where you feel like the enemy's brought defeat, or you've been listening to his voice, it's this easy. Satan, in Jesus' name, shut your mouth. Amen. I'm not going to listen to you, King of Assyria. Satan, I'm not going to listen to you. Because just like back then when it was the enemy, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That was the devil trying to carry them off into captivity. Always wanting to get rid of Israel altogether. The line of which the Christ would come. Trying to snuff that out. Trying to make an agreement with enemy. We don't have to make an agreement with the enemy at all. I don't have to suffer at all. I don't have to suffer in depression. Amen. I don't have to suffer in sickness. I don't have to suffer in poverty. Amen. I can have complete victory from him. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word of God that lives in our heart as we declare through. Declare the truth, Father. We thank you for the Spirit of God that lives in you and I, Father. We thank you for the mouth of the enemy being shut in Jesus' name. Lord, we're not going to let our emotions or our fears dictate. Amen? Over and over the Bible says, fear not, for I'm with you. Fear not, I'm with you. Telling Hezekiah, fear not, the enemy's going to be whipped completely. So those areas in our lives, Father, we thank you for bringing victory to your people. Doesn't matter what's going on around us. Father, we thank you for joy. We thank you for strength. We thank you for peace. Amen. Father, we thank you, Father, for says to cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. Father, we cast our cares upon you. Lord, we remind ourselves that the battle belongs to the Lord. Lord, we remind ourselves that we are victorious in you. And it starts with what's coming out of our mouths. Amen. We are victorious in you in Jesus' name. We are set free in Jesus' name, Father. We are healed in Jesus' name. We are blessed in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for our sons and our daughters in Jesus' name. Nephews and nieces, parents, grandchildren. Father, we thank you for victory in our homes, Father, in Jesus' name, for peace and strength. Father, we declare that. We believe that. We receive that. It's planting in us, Father God. This week, Father, as we get up in the morning, we say, thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. I don't care what you're facing. His mercies are new every morning, Father God. The enemy is defeated in Jesus' name. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. The enemy is a defeated foe in Jesus' name. And so we thank you for that this morning, Father. We thank you for good reports this week, Father God. As people are encouraged in you, even on Monday, be encouraged in the Lord. Even on Tuesday, encourage yourself in the Lord. On hump day, say, I am blessed in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for that today. We love you and we worship you. Let's sing this song together and then we can be dismissed. Ladies, don't forget your flower, your rose in the back as you leave, okay? Amen and amen. Oh God, the battle belongs.